So today we're starting a new chapter. This is chapter number 24. This is the first of four chapters dealing with the lifting of Govardhan Hill. So let us begin, as I like to begin all my preaching engagements, by chanting the 12-syllable mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And of course, Trinadapi Sunichena Tarara Eva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Nama Eva Kivalam Kulu Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata. Sakshi has put the link so you can follow along. And as usual, we will do questions and answers after the reading. This is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as given to us by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Chapter 24, Worshipping Govardhan Hill. While engaged with the Brahmanas, who were too much involved in the performance of Vedic sacrifices, Krishna and Balaram also saw that the cowherd men were preparing a similar sacrifice in order to pacify Indra, the king of heaven, who was responsible for supplying water. As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, a devotee of Krishna has strong and firm faith in the understanding that if he or she is simply engaged in Krishna consciousness and Krishna's transcendental loving service, then he or she is freed from all other obligations. A pure devotee of Lord Krishna doesn't have to perform any of the ritualistic functions enjoined in the Vedas, nor is one required to worship any demigods. Being a devotee of Lord Krishna, one is understood to have performed all kinds of Vedic rituals and all kinds of worship to the demigods. One does not develop devotional service for Krishna by performing the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or worshipping the demigods. But it should be understood that one who is fully engaged in the service of the Lord has already fulfilled all Vedic injunctions. In order to stop all such activities by his devotees, Krishna wanted to firmly establish exclusive devotional service during his presence in Vrindavan. Because he is the omniscient personality of Godhead, Krishna knew that the cowherd men were preparing for the Indra sacrifice. But as a matter of etiquette, he began to inquire with great honor and submission from elder personalities like Maharaj Nanda. Krishna asked his father, "My dear father, what is this arrangement going on for a great sacrifice? What is the result of such a sacrifice, and for whom is it meant? How is it performed? Will you kindly let me know? I am very eager to know this procedure, so please explain to me the purpose of this sacrifice." Upon this inquiry, his father, Nanda Maharaj, remained silent, thinking that his young boy would not be able to understand the intricacies of performing the yajna. Krishna, however, persisted, "My dear father, for those who are liberal and saintly, there is no secrecy. They do not think anyone to be a friend, an enemy, or a neutral party, because they are always open to everyone. And even for those who are not so liberal, nothing should be kept secret from the family members and friends. Although secrecy may be maintained for persons who are inimical. Therefore, you cannot keep any secrets from me. All persons are engaged in fruitive activities. Some know what these activities are, and they know the result. And some execute activities without knowing the purpose or the result. A person who acts with full knowledge gets the full result. One who acts without knowledge does not get such a perfect result. Therefore, please let me know the purpose of the sacrifice you are going to perform. Is it according to Vedic injunction, or is it simply a popular ceremony? Kindly let me know in detail about the sacrifice. So whenever I read this chapter, I always like to comment on this section where Krishna just pointed out that one who knows in full knowledge about the sacrifice, then that person gets the full result. So we in the Krishna consciousness movement, we are performing the Sankirtan Yajna, the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So therefore, it behooves us to know everything we can about the holy name and about chanting. And therefore, ISKCON has published one book, Nam Amrita. And that Nam Amrita is a compendium of all of Prabhupada's quotations from his books about the science of chanting. I myself have read that book several times, and I have given many classes from that book in earlier days in the 90s when I began my Namahat preaching here in Southern California. So I encourage all of you, my students, to please learn as much as you can from Prabhupada's books about the science of chanting the holy name. Again, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now we go back to Samadhi. I hope you're following me, and I hope by now you have entered the realm of Vrindavan, because that is the beauty of this Krishna book, that if you become absorbed and you totally lock into the narration, you will actually be able to perceive Vrindavan. So let's all try to get into the Samadhi. On hearing this inquiry from Krishna, Maharaj Nanda replied, "My dear boy, this ceremonial performance is more or less traditional. Because rainfall is due to the mercy of King Indra, and the clouds are his representatives, and because water is so important for our living, we must show some gratitude to the controller of this rainfall, Maharaj Indra. We are arranging, therefore, to pacify King Indra, because he has very kindly sent us clouds to pour down a sufficient quantity of rain for successful agricultural activities. Water is very important. Without rainfall, we cannot farm or produce grain, and without grain, we cannot live. Therefore, rain is necessary for successful religious ceremonies, economic development, and ultimately liberation. So we should not give up this traditional ceremonial function. If one gives it up, being influenced by lust, greed, or fear, then it does not look good for him." So this reminds us of what we were studying last night in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that one executes duty simply because it ought to be done. That is the mode of goodness. If one gives up prescribed duties out of fear or bodily discomfort, then one is influenced by the mode of passion. So this concept of doing something because it is one's duty, simply because it ought to be done, that is a symptom of the mode of goodness. And in the Uddhava Gita, Krishna points out that anything in the mode of ignorance should be thoroughly detested and rejected. And things that are in the mode of passion, we should be indifferent. And for those things which are in the mode of goodness, those are the things that we should be following, and those are the things that we should be promoting. Actions and things in the mode of goodness. Let us continue now. After hearing this, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the presence of his father and all the elder cowherd men of Vrindavan, spoke in such a way as to make the heavenly king Indra very angry. He suggested that they forego the sacrifice. His reasons for discouraging the sacrifice performed to please Indra were twofold. First, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, there is no need to worship the demigods for any material advancement. All results derived from worshiping the demigods are simply temporary, and only those who are less intelligent are interested in temporary results. Second, whatever temporary result one derives from worshiping the demigods is actually granted by the permission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Mayaiva Vihitan Hitan. Whatever benefit is supposed to be derived from the demigods is actually bestowed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without the permission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot bestow any benefit upon others. And this also we learned in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. We learned from Krishna that there are five causes for the result of any action. And the fifth factor is Daiva, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who sanctions the results of our activities. That is the Supersoul. So you may do something on the material plane, and you may do it perfectly according to the four other factors. But if that fifth factor is not there, if the particular work is not sanctioned by the Supersoul, then one will not be successful. So that is the important, that Supersoul factor, as we learn in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Anumanta hi upadrasta. The Supersoul is overseeing and permitting, overseeing and sanctioning. So let us continue. But sometimes the demigods become puffed up by the influence of material nature, thinking themselves all in all. They forget the supremacy of the Personality of Godhead. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is clearly stated that in this instance, Krishna wanted to make King Indra angry. Krishna's advent was especially meant for the annihilation of the demons and the protection of the devotees. King Indra was certainly a devotee, not a demon. But because he was puffed up, Krishna wanted to teach him a lesson. He first made Indra angry by stopping the Indra Puja, which had been arranged by the cowherd men of Vrindavan. And as we learn from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very well we learn how pride comes before the fall. Therefore, in Lord Chaitanya's movement, we are instructed at all times, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarar Iva Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. One should keep him or herself always meek and humble, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Let us go back to Vrindavan. With this purpose in mind, Krishna began to talk as if he were an atheist, supporting the philosophy of Karma Mimamsa. Advocates of this philosophy do not accept the supreme authority of the personality of Godhead. They put forward the argument that if anyone works nicely, the result is sure to come. Their opinion is that even if there is a God who gives man the result of his fruitive activities, there is no need to worship him, because unless man works, he cannot bestow any good result. They say that instead of worshiping a demigod or God, people should give attention to their own duties, and thus the good result will surely come. Lord Krishna began to speak to his father according to these principles of the Karma Mimamsa philosophy. My dear father, he said, I don't think you need to worship any demigod for the successful performance of your agricultural activities. Every living being is born according to his past karma and leaves this life simply taking the result of his present karma. Everyone is born in different types or species of life according to his past activities, and he gets his next birth according to the activities of this life. Different grades of material happiness and distress, comforts and disadvantages of life, are different results of different kinds of activities from either the past or present life. Now, what is mentioned here by Krishna from one angle of vision is certainly true. Whatever our present condition is for all of us, this present condition is simply the result of the activities we have done in previous lives. Therefore, as I always preach, we have nobody to blame but ourselves for our present material situation. Our devotional situation, that is different. That is the mercy of Guru and Krishna. But as far as our material condition, that is the result of the choices we have made in previous lives. And by those choices, we have been given a particular material situation. Let us now continue with Krishna book. Maharaj Nanda and other elder members argued that without satisfying the predominating God, one cannot derive any good result simply by material activities. This is actually the fact. For example, it is sometimes found that in spite of first-class medical help and treatment by a first-class physician, a diseased person dies. It is concluded, therefore, that first-class medical treatment or the attempts of a first-class physician are not in themselves the cause for curing a patient. There must be the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this reminds me that one of our good friends, Dwarkadisha Das, is right now suffering immensely from two kidney stones. And I promised the family that I would dedicate today's class and program for him. So, reading this particular portion here, that nothing is guaranteed. We must have the hand of the Supreme Lord. So let us all chant the Maha Mantra for Dwarkadish Das. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Similarly, a father's and mother's taking care of their children is not the cause of the children's comfort. Sometimes it is found that in spite of all care by the parents, the children go bad or succumb to death. Therefore, material causes are not sufficient for results. There must be the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nanda Maharaj therefore advocated that in order to get good results for agricultural activities, they must satisfy Indra, the superintending deity of the rain supply. Lord Krishna nullified this argument, saying that the demigods give results only to persons who have executed their prescribed duties. The demigods cannot give any good results to the person who has not executed the prescribed duties. Therefore, demigods are dependent on the execution of duties and are not absolute in awarding good results to anyone. So why should one care about them? My dear father, Lord Krishna said, there is no need to worship the demigod Indra. Everyone has to achieve the result of his own work. We can actually see that one becomes busy according to the natural tendency of his work. And according to that natural tendency, all living entities, whether human beings or demigods, achieve their respective results. All living entities achieve higher or lower bodies and create enemies, friends, or neutral parties only because of their different kinds of work. One should be careful to discharge duties according to his natural instinct and not divert attention to the worship of various demigods. The demigods will be satisfied by proper execution of all duties, so there is no need to worship them. Let us, rather, perform our prescribed duties very nicely. Actually, one cannot be happy without executing his proper prescribed duty. One who does not, therefore, properly discharge his prescribed duties is compared to an unchaste wife. The proper prescribed duty of the Brahmanas is the study of the Vedas. The proper duty of the royal order, the Kshatriyas, is engagement in protecting the citizens. The proper duty of the Vaishya community is agriculture, trade, and protection of the cows. And the proper duty of the Shudras is service to the higher classes, namely the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. We belong to the Vaishya community, and our proper duty is to farm, to trade with agricultural produce, to protect cows, or to take to banking. Krishna identified himself with the Vaishya community because Nanda Maharaj was protecting many cows and Krishna was taking care of them. He enumerated four kinds of business engagements for the Vaishya community, namely agriculture, trade, protection of cows, and banking. Although the Vaishyas can take to any of these occupations, the men of Vrindavan were engaged primarily in the protection of cows. Krishna further explained to his father, this cosmic manifestation is going on under the influence of three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. These three modes are the causes of creation, maintenance, and destruction. The cloud is caused by the action of the mode of passion. Therefore, it is the mode of passion which causes the rainfall. And after the rainfall, the living entities derive the result. Success in agricultural work. What then has Indra to do with this affair? Even if you do not please Indra, what can he do? We do not derive any special benefit from Indra. Even if he is there, he pours water on the ocean also, where there is no need of water. So he is pouring water on the ocean or on the land. It does not depend on our worshiping him. As far as we are concerned, we do not need to go to another city or village or foreign country. There are palatial buildings in the cities, but we are satisfied living in this forest of Vrindavan. Our specific relationship is with Govardhan Hill and Vrindavan Forest and nothing more. I therefore request you, my dear father, to begin a sacrifice which will satisfy the local Brahmins and Govardhan Hill, and let us have nothing to do with Indra. After hearing this statement by Krishna, Nanda Maharaj replied, "My dear boy, since you are asking, I shall arrange for a separate sacrifice for the local Brahmins and Govardhan Hill. But for the present, let me execute this sacrifice known as Indra Yajna." But Krishna replied, "My dear father, don't delay. The sacrifice you propose for Govardhan and the local Brahmins will take much time. Better take the arrangement and paraphernalia you have already made for the Indra Yajna and immediately engage them to satisfy Govardhan Hill and the local Brahmanas." And this is where we will end today's narration. We will now do questions and answers. And before we do questions and answers, we will chant one nice bhajan. You can all sing along with me once I start singing. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari, Gopi Janna Vallava Girivarat Hari, Bijana Vallava Girivarat Hari, Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana, Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana, Jamuna Tira Vanachari, Jamuna Tira Vanachari, Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari, Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivaradhari, Yasoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana, Jamuna Tira vanachari yamuna tira vanachari jaya radha madhava jai kunja bihari jaya radha madhava jai kunja bihari jai gopi janavallabha jai gopi janavallabha jagiri varadhari jagiri varadhari jagiri varadhari yasoda nandana braja janaranjana yasoda nandana braja janaranjana yasoda nandana braja janaranjana jamuna tira vanachari jamuna tira vanachari jaya radha madhava jaya kunja bihari jaya radha madhava jaya kunja bihari jaya gopi janavallabha jaya gopi janavallabha jagiri varadhari jagiri varadhari yashomati nandana braja bala nagara yashomati nandana braja bala nagara gokula ranjana khana Gokula Ranjana Kana Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Janavallava Jai Gopi Janavallabha Jagiri Varadhari Jagiri Varadhari Gopi Purana Dana Madana Manohara Gopi Purana Dana Madana Manohara Gopi Parana Dana Madana Gonohara Kaliya Damana Vidhan Kaliya Damana Vidhan Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jai Kunja Bihari Jai Gopi Janavallabha Jai Gopi Janavallabha Jai Giri Varadhari Jai Giri Varadhari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Jai Gopi Janavallabha, Jai Girivaradhari, Jai Girivaradhari, Jai Girivaradhari, Jai Girivaradhari.